Colleen Conahan, the famous Boston Marathon is on Monday. You will be there running it, but there is someone else who won't. Please do tell us about that.
So the running community lost an ascending star earlier this year. On February 10th, Kelvin Kiptum, a Kenyan, one of the most promising marathon runners, died in a car accident in his home country. He was driving with his coach, Gervais Hakizimana, who also died in the crash.
Singing hymns and holding hands, mourners walked alongside a convoy carrying Kelvin Kiptum's flower-lined casket as it's headed to his home village. The procession for the marathon world record holder departed a morgue in the western Kenyan city of Eldoret on Thursday.
He was 24 years old. He was married. He had a 7-year-old son, a 4-year-old daughter. And this is obviously just such a tragedy for him, his family, his community in Kenya. But as the current world record holder in the marathon, he set the mark in 2023 in the Chicago Marathon.
He's waving to the crowd, kisses. An amazing effort by Kelvin Kiptum for a new world record at the Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
And Kerry Pinkowski could not be happier.
Kiptum was training for the Rotterdam Marathon in this month, and all eyes are on him because he had set his sights on breaking the 2-hour barrier for running a marathon. No human has been able to run it in less than 2 hours, and at only 24 years old, he was already regarded as one of the best marathon runners the world had ever seen. So just a massive loss that had the running community asking itself, what could have been?
When the starter's gun goes off on Monday for the 128th Boston Marathon, sadly, Kelvin Kiptum will not be among the runners. The Kenyan running superstar lost his life earlier this year, and that tragedy has been compounded by what appeared to be limitless potential. In a brief 3-year marathon career, Kiptum had built a Hall of Fame resume that seemed to push the boundaries of what a human can accomplish. So today, ultramarathoner Colleen Conahan joins us to explain just how much the world lost with Kiptum's death and breaks down the possibility of the elusive record that he was chasing. I'm Clinton Yates. It's Friday, April 12th. This is ESPN Daily. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Colleen, before we get into this story and the possibly unattainable record, how many marathons have you run?
Well, I've stopped counting, which I think is an answer in itself. And then in advance of this, I actually pulled out all my medals to count. So officially 18 marathons. I've done 8 50 milers. I've run a 100K. I've done 300 milers. And the cherry on top is I ran the Badwater 135 in 2021.
Reading from your story, it says, I'll have to endure both face-melting heat and merciless climbing. The race starts at Badwater Basin, the lowest point in North America, and ends at the portal of Mount Whitney, the tallest mountain in the lower 48. I'm sorry. Could you please further describe that kind of intense operation, please, to those who don't have any idea what that's like, me included?
Yeah. So the Badwater 135, it's kind of penned as the toughest foot race on earth. It's a 135-mile ultramarathon through Death Valley National Park. So officially the hottest place on earth. And it takes place in July. So it's not like we're doing this in February. It is in the hottest heat of the year in the hottest place on earth. And really, the goal is just to get from the lowest point to the highest point. You cross three different mountain ranges. And thanks to a support crew, I am still here with you today and am also stupidly taking on the challenge again this summer.
Much props to you for that accomplishment. But in your circle, Kelvin Kiptum is a huge deal. When did you first hear about him?
So really, when he bust on the scene, he was kind of not heard of. He was not one of the many seasoned marathon runners that many of us in the running community have followed historically. So in 2022, he won the Valencia Marathon. It was his debut. It was his very first marathon. And he ran an astounding 201.53.
This is one of the fastest marathons of all time. It's a debut, and he's going to be inside 2 hours and 2 minutes. Look out for this name. It is here to last a few years. Kelvin Kiptum is the winner of the 2022 Trinidad Alfonso Valencia Marathon.
So just to put that in context, that is 4 minutes, 39 seconds per mile. There are very few people on earth who can run that fast for 1 mile, let alone doing it 26.2 times in a row. So in his very first marathon, just absolutely bust onto the scene as somebody we need to know in this space.
What was his backstory as an athlete? How did he get into running? What did he do?
So I think here in the U.S., right, we think of all these runners and they come up through cross country teams and they're, you know, spotted by Nike. But this is not the case for Kelvin Kiptum. He is such a modest beginning. So he's a farm boy in Kenya. His father owns a farm and he helps by helping run around and herding the cattle. And, you know, occasionally would follow other runners on the trails. At the time, Kiptum was probably romanced by the idea of being a runner. And his father just kind of told him, you know, be practical. Let's do something a little bit more pragmatic. He said, maybe you'll be an electrician. But the talent was there. And Kelvin Kiptum just kept running.
When did Kelvin's competitive career actually begin?
So pretty early. He was 13 years old in 2013. And he just started running competitively, signed up for a half marathon. And I don't know, for those of you who, you know, when I run a race and I see somebody who hasn't even faced puberty and they're just like barnstorming me and crushing me, it's really disheartening. But that's exactly what he did. He placed 10th in the half marathon at age 13, right? So he's nowhere near his running maturity and doesn't even have a coach at the time. He's totally self-coached, just going out there. And the legend has it that he couldn't even afford his own sneakers. He had to borrow a pair of shoes to run in this race. And so it just adds to the legendary status of someone with so much talent getting in the game young. But from there, he just kind of started doing more half marathons throughout Europe. And that was just kind of his focus at the time.
When did everything change for Kiptum, going from self-coached barefoot half marathoner to running legend?
Everything changes for him in 2020. So he starts training under Gervais Hakizimana, who's his coach. He's a Rwandan. Hakizimana had known Kelvin Kiptum since he was a young boy and decided after significant training blocks that in 2022, he was like, you're ready. Let's get out there. And so they sign up and run the Valencia Marathon. It's his first full marathon. He's 21 years old.
And Kelvin Kiptum is into the final 400 meters onto the carpet inside the City of Arts and Sciences. What a run it's been for him.
And so just for context, if you look at some of the most storied and celebrated and successful marathoners, a lot of them, their running careers start late. And so they're only entering the marathon in their late 20s. So this is already just a very young entrant and probably just trying to get some experience. But doesn't matter for Kiptum. He wins the race. He runs the fourth fastest time ever, 2 hours, 1 minute, and 53 seconds. And he's the third man in history to break that 2 hours, 2 minutes barrier. He's an incredible talent. And again, the whole world takes notice.
You're telling me this man won his first race coming out the gate?
That's not even like the half of it. There are only three people who have ever run faster. One of them is Eliud Kipchoge, who is like, for me, he's the Michael Jordan of running marathons. Like he is, of the 18 marathons he's run, he's won 15 of them. He's won 11 world majors. He is like the GOAT of all GOATs. And to be able to be in that category, in that status, in your first marathon is just an extraordinary feat. It's like it's almost unfathomable how talented you have to be able to be on that level. And that was just the beginning. In April of 2023, Kiptum set the course record at the London Marathon.
And he's done it. 201.26. What a remarkable run. He's broken the course record by something like 70 seconds. It is a brilliant performance.
That's 16 seconds off of Eliud Kipchoge's world record pace, but it's already faster than Kipchoge had run the London Marathon. So he breaks the course record for the London Marathon. And again, for context, the London Marathon is not only a world major, so it attracts some of the greatest talent across the world, but it's also a really fast and flat course. And again, so in his second marathon, he's still turning heads. And then once again, in October 2023, he does the unthinkable and he breaks the world record.
Brand new men's world record, unofficial 2 hours in. We don't even know. It's at 2:47 right now. He hasn't even hit 2:01 yet. He's been behind the finish line for a while. Amazing.
We'll get that official time, 2 hours and 30, whatever.
Wow. This is the future for a man who said his family could not afford to get him to the track.
He runs the Chicago Marathon here in the States. He runs a 2 hour, 0 minute and 35 second marathon. He breaks the world record, takes the crown from his fellow countryman, Eliud Kipchoge. Upon reflection of all of this, you know, seeing these two Kenyan men, they just keep continuing to raise the bar of possibility and in a way that feels like destiny. So there's kind of this elder, the statesman of running of marathons, and then there's the newbie. And the promise, right? It feels like there's this obvious passing of the torch. Truly, the whole running community, we were so excited to see what was in store for both of them. Because for Kipchoge, it really felt like for the first time, a challenger had entered the arena.
Colleen, what are the major marathons globally? How many of them are there? And what are the differences between the different races?
So there are five world majors. And there's the Boston Marathon, which is probably the most famous one here in the U.S. There's also New York and Chicago, and then there's London and Tokyo. The reason that they're the world majors is that they have the biggest purse, right? So the biggest prize opportunity attached to them, and so they attract the greatest amount of talent. Each of the courses has different variables, whether it's like, you know, London being fast and flat. Tokyo is known for sometimes being a little bit more humid or hot. The time of year varies greatly. And so because running a marathon is so taxing on the body, it's not the case that every marathoner is going to run every world major. In fact, it was pretty astounding that Kiptum ran multiple world majors in a year. That is not typical by any means. So running two in a year and just basically kind of doing them back to back, one in the spring and one in the fall, was already quite ambitious. And it just showed the level of talent that he had.
Three marathons in his career, wins all three, sets records in all three, including a world record. I can't imagine what comes next. I am actively listening.
So this month, he had said that he was going to run the Rotterdam Marathon in the Netherlands. And the conditions for that one, it's fast, it's flat, it's a cool time of year. So the conditions are all right. He kind of throws down the gauntlet and says he's going to use this one as his opportunity to break 2 hours. This summer, he was also slated to run in the Olympics in Paris in July. And again, knowing the kind of handoff, the passing of the torch between him and Eliud Kipchoge, seeing the two of them running for Kenya would have been just a beautiful symbolic moment. And I think we were all really looking forward to see what that would look like on an international stage, I pay close attention to what happens at world major marathons, but I think the Olympics bring a much larger international audience. Even people who are not really interested in the running community would have been able to see something that was just a beautiful display of when the new generation steps up and takes an opportunity to take us to the next level.
Coming up, the quest for an elusive marathon record rolls on. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Let's talk about this idea of the sub 2 hour marathon. Who's come the closest, Clayne?
Definitely not me. It was officially Kelvin Kiptum. So in 2023, when he broke the world record in Chicago, when he ran that 2 hour, 35 second marathon, that was a sanctioned world record. So that's the one that counts if you're scoring it in the record books. But if you're looking, if you're maybe getting a little fuzzy on sanctioned versus unsanctioned races or just kind of creating conditions for running sub 2 hours, Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, he ran a marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes and 40 seconds. He did that in 2019 at the age of 35.
Eliud Kipchoge storms into the history books in Vienna. 1:59:40, the unofficial time. The first man to run a marathon in under 2 hours. One final lung-busting stride for Kipchoge. One giant leap for human endeavor.
What's interesting, however, again, this was not a race. This was a kind of a publicity event. It was on a closed course in Vienna that was created specifically for ideal conditions. It was not a world record attempt. He ran behind an electric timing car that was going the pace of 4:34. And there was a flock of rotating pace setters. So you know how migratory birds, right? So geese flying south, they've got that flying V, Mighty Duck style. So Kipchoge was kind of in the middle there. And those individuals, not only do they help keep that pace consistent so you don't have to think about it, but moreover, they also help break the wind so that he's not getting wind from the sides or in front of him and is just kind of blocked in some ways. There are other kind of different things. He also got fluids from a bicycle, so he didn't have to run off the course to get hydration throughout the race. There were lines that were painted along to ensure that he was taking the actual shortest route. So there were all these different innovations and interventions, because that's when we're talking about running 2 hours, when we're talking about running 4:34 and doing that on repeat 26.2 times, these are the margins. These are the things and the interventions that you have to introduce to be able to do so successfully. And so because they kind of created all of these controls for these variables, it doesn't count as an official record.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you know, if you got all that kind of help, that's a completely different scenario than most people. But my question would be, why, if you just mentioned before that running two majors in 1 year is taxing enough, why would anybody do that if you weren't going to be doing it for an official record?
I mean, Clinton, maybe you don't know a lot of long distance runners, but we do a lot of things for no good reason, like so many things for no good reason at all. And really, I think so much of running long distances, you're asking yourself consistently. And I think people generally, humans, want to know, like, is breaking 2 hours possible under any conditions, right? So they kind of created this experiment. Can the human body actually run a 2 hour marathon or less? And so, you know, there's a big publicity push around this. You know, there were people lining the streets cheering him on. It was a really well done event. They tried to get this hashtag tag of no human is limited. They tried to get that going worldwide.
And, you know, Kipchoge was right. No human is limited. And now he can celebrate. He has done it. And to Roger Bannister, Neil Armstrong, Edmund Hillary, we can now add the name of Eliud Kipchoge.
And really what it comes down to is this is why we do those things. We push ourselves to the limit. In racing, they call it redlining. Like, how hard and how long can you go at your top speed without completely blowing up? And, it, you know, seeing people do what feels impossible always makes me think, you know, like, if he can do that, what can the next great runner do? If he can do that, what can I do?
Do you think Kipton would have broke the record?
I have to think so. So I go back and forth on this because just like doing the math, right? So just come along with me on this journey. It is not possible for a human to run 100 meters in 0 seconds, right? Like, we can all agree to that. But could a human run 100 meters in 8 seconds? It's never been done, but is it possible? I don't know. And if you extrapolate that out, if you blow that out, right, there is a limit. There is probably a definable limit. What is it? And for a long time, people would tell you that it's 2 hours. Just like in the mile, they would have told you it was 4 minutes until Roger Bannister decided that he was just going to run it. And then after that, it blew the doors open. And now everyone and their mother can run sub 4 minute mile. I think that Kipton would have done it. I think he was so close and so young in his running career. Again, he was just 24 years old when he passed away. And most elite marathoners, it's one of the very rare instances in sports where the top athletes can be in their mid to late 30s. Your career as a marathoner can continue getting stronger well into your 30s. And so for him to be this good at age 21, it's hard to know what his upper limit would have been. And it's hard to know what his max capacity would have been. So I believe that he would have broken the record. I don't think it would have been at Paris this July. I think the conditions are way too hot. But I think that in a Rotterdam, it would have been possible for him. And just reflecting on, I remember reading articles about his training schedule. And while even elite marathoners they're running 100-mile weeks, which is already an obscene amount of mileage, but he was routinely doing 120-mile weeks. And his coach was like begging him to do less so that it wasn't so much wear and tear on his body. But he was such an elite athlete and he loved the process so much that I have to believe that he was going to be the one. He felt like the one.
You brought up Roger Bannister and the record that kind of changed everybody's outlook on it. How do you think the sub 2 hour marathon ranks compared to other records like that in terms of, I don't know, Bob Beamon blowing things out of the water in the Olympics? I know there's obviously some bias as you are a distance runner, but how do you feel about that in terms of the rankings of the rest?
I'm so glad you asked this. I think it's the hardest thing. So if you think of like a college basketball game, right, it's 2 hours, right? And that's with stoppages of time. It's like 2 hours. Imagine a perfect basketball game where you have zero turnovers, you don't miss any cutters, you get every rebound, you like literally perfect front to back execution for 2 hours straight. That is the margin that we're talking about with running a 2 hour marathon. It's literally textbook perfect. So, you know, earlier when I said that I think Kelvin Kiptum could have broken the 2 hour barrier, I keep asking myself where, right? So if he has to run 36 seconds faster, that seems like doable. It's totally achievable for me because I'm just a schlub running like, you know, just a mediocre marathon pace. But where are the margins? So if he's 35 seconds short of doing it, that means that he has to run basically more than a second faster every mile. When you're already running a 4:39, like where are you getting those seconds from? Where are you pulling them from? To break 2 hours, you have to run faster than a 4:34 mile, right? So that's 274 seconds per mile, which means you're doing a 400, right? So one lap around the track in 68.5 seconds. So let's round that down to 68 because we want to make sure you break the actually break the record. And so that's like 17 seconds in 100 meter, which is fast, to be clear. I mean, we're not talking, no one's winning a high school race at that, but like that's fast. That's not a slow jog for 100 meters. And you're doing that. So you're going to run a 400 at 68.5 seconds. You're going to do that 105.5 times in a row. No breaks, right? You can't go to the bathroom. You can't high five somebody on the side, right? Like you are grinding for 2 hours straight. I think mathematically that's harder than even executing a perfect 100 meter race, 200 meter race. I just think the level of mental and physical mastery that it requires is so demanding and so taxing that I think it's the hardest of any athletic feat to accomplish.
Last thing I'll ask you, do you think you'll see it? And do you think you know who it's going to be?
God, I think I'll see it. Yes, affirmatively, I do. I don't know who, though, right? So my guy, Eliud Kipchoge, he's 39. He's in the backstretch of his career. He came in sixth in the Boston Marathon last year. That was like one of the lowest performances of his whole career. I don't know that that means he's down and out, right? He has broken every expectation I've had of him ever before. But it does feel like there is a symbolic changing of the guard that has to happen. Who's the next one? Who's it? Who's up? I also, you know, I want to pay a little homage to what's happening on the women's side of the marathon, because simultaneously, the world record went from 2 hours 17 minutes in 2017 to 2:11. So we are now 6 minutes faster in the course of 6 years. So who knows? Like, I feel like there's so many different barriers that we're going to see people smash through. And I don't know who the next up is. But I know we're not done yet. If Kelvin Kiptum can come out of literally nowhere, right? Like if he's coming out of a farm in Kenya, then there's some kid on the globe, probably of East African heritage, who is going to see this and be inspired. He's going to hear the story and he's going to realize that this is his shot. And if you have the work ethic, definitely the genetics, definitely the ability, and a lot of luck about injuries, coaching, nutrition, all of those things. I believe we're going to see it in our lifetime, but it's just not clear who that person's going to be. And when it does happen, it's going to be so special.
Well, I know many will be running with heavy hearts in Boston. Thank you, Colleen, and good luck.
Thank you.
The 128th Boston Marathon will be broadcast on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus on Monday, April 15th, starting at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Clinton Yates. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by
Bruce Baldwin,
Ashley Brown,
Bradford Craig,
Alexander Hyacinth,
Ryan Nantel,
Mike Philbrick,
and Phoebe Untermann.
We had additional help this week from Rebecca Preston. Special thanks to Andrew Hahn. We'll talk to you Monday.